here we go. It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. How's everybody doing? I'm Chris Mack. He's Mark Cabali. This is Cabali and Mack. I just straightened my camera out because it was looking a little crooked. Now it's a little crooked back the other way. It's a Friday afternoon, Friday evening. I don't know. Is this technically after dark? Maybe not totally because the sun's still setting. It doesn't matter. We usually do this thing in the morning, and now it's not morning. So that doesn't matter. We only had to tweak it just a little bit for our special mystery guest who will join us in just a couple of minutes.
Who?
You know who. The people don't know who, though, Kaboom, and they're going to find out in just a couple of minutes. And I know at least a few of the things that I think our special mystery guest would like to talk about, and we'll get into that. All of those things with special mystery guest who remains unsaid in a couple of minutes. Don't forget HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com, the Dan Heck team. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're happy to make that happen for you. Doesn't matter. Where? Doesn't matter. How? Doesn't matter. They get it done for you. The Dan Heck team, HeckTeamHomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They will take care of you. They are the presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mack, and we appreciate them. We appreciate all of you because this is a weird time. Let's be honest, Mark. It's people are used to us doing this at, like, you know, 10 in the morning or whatever. It's a little odd. This is a little different. Everybody's sitting down enjoying their family dinner, and all of a sudden, here come Cabali and Mack in to crash their whole Friday night.
I'm just looking at our first comment, Mack, and that's kind of interesting.
What? I didn't see it. Hold on.
Steve Ashcraft.
Well, Steve, who here, let me make sure that everybody else can see it too. Is Rodgers announcing it big night out?
Our special guest today is Aaron Rodgers.
Stop it. It is not, everybody. Our special guest is not Aaron Rodgers. How funny would that be if he went to some, like, just, you know, some local podcast to announce that he was coming to Pittsburgh? We're more than local, though. We're international. You know, I looked that up yesterday, by the way.
You can look this up?
You can look up the percentage of people, like, geographically, the breakdown.
Oh, you know why. Cody Sable and his Jakarta people, right?
I don't know if that had a lot to do with it or not. If you missed the Cody Sable episode the other day, by all means, go back and check it out. Cody Sable, the famous speed artist, was on with us the other day and apparently has a massive following in Jakarta?
No, I don't think that's it. It started with a J.
Yeah, no, I think it was Jakarta. I think that's what he said. Yeah. Anyway, no, I noticed that like 80 to 85% of our views come from these grand old United States America, which is wonderful. But I thought it would be more. I thought it would be like 95-98%. We get a lot of international views, Kaboom, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if we're just that intriguing to people outside the states. I don't know if somebody's looking to tariff us on YouTube views. I don't know if that is a thing. I don't think it is, but I figure what the hell, I'll throw it out there. Whatever it is, yeah, we have a decent number of viewers from outside the states, which is really strange to me, but it is what it is.
Any from Canada?
I'm sure. I didn't look at the entire geographic.
Hi, Canada.
Hi, Canada. We still like you. I mean,
Be honest with you, Steelers have the big Mexico following, big Ireland. Maybe.
That's true. Speaking of the Irish following, well, I don't want to tease too much, but the week after next, we may have somebody who was involved in that whole deal coming on the show. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Art Rooney's.
No.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's what Art Rooney wants to do, is hang out with us for an hour. Dogging Steelers. Yeah, not quite. Let's start with this, because inevitably we will have to mention Rodgers at some point in this show, which just makes my brain hurt because there's nothing to say. But there we go. Someone from Spain. Did you see that? I wonder if that's real. El Puño de Acero. They say that means the steel fist, but I could have just, I don't know, I could be swearing.
El Puño de Acero.
El Puño de Acero.
I failed Spanish.
You got to work on your Spanish pronunciation. That's the one thing I picked up living in Texas for a few years as a kid, is how to pronounce things in Spanish. El Puño de Acero. How about that? Does that sound authentic?
Maybe they need to know how to pronounce Pittsburghese.
I can do both. El Puño de Acero or El Puño de Acero. See, either way, it's the same
thing. The funny thing is we sit there and make fun of the Yinzer accent, but like if you're in Giant Eagle and somebody really got one thick, I would stop and like, oh my goodness, is it, this person like serious?
Do you think people hear your voice and think that you have a Yinzer accent?
Yeah, because when I go on Pat's show, everybody makes fun of me with the Yinzer accent.
I don't think yours is quite like the what's his name? The guy that was interviewed on the news, you know, how many years ago? Pittsburgh's the best town. I don't care what anybody says. I can't remember that guy's name. Yeah. But, like, you're not quite on
the burn in Homestead,
Yeah. You're not quite on that level. You drop some Yinzer, some Pittsburghese in there, but you're not quite at that level.
I don't go downtown.
Barry Pinger, I think, was his name. Pittsburgh's the best town. Hey, I don't care what anybody says.
Barry Pinger, welcome to the show. He's our special guest.
No, he's not. Stop it. You keep saying this. We will have a special mystery guest in a couple of minutes. So we'll talk Rodgers. We'll talk Steelers, definitely. We talk Steelers all the time. And we will get into hockey at least a little bit with our special mystery guest, perhaps one of his specialties, one of his favorites. More hints. No, it's not Yowie. He refuses to come back on since you bust his balls all the time.
That's
not true. He actually still says anytime, even though you're still here.
That's 20 years in the making there.
That is a long time coming. Let's start with the Pirates opener in Miami.
Do you really want to go there?
It's like somebody picked up last year's team and just dropped it into this season. Like, it's the same goddamn thing. Paul Skeens goes out and busts his ass for six innings, and they actually got a couple timely hits. The Nick Gonzalez home run, which he hurt himself on somehow. I don't know what the hell happened there. They put him on the IL today. But, you know, a little bit of timely hitting, which is big time for the Pirates. And Skeens pitches well, and then back end of the bullpen just absolutely pisses down the inside of its leg, Holderman and Bednar both. And I heard Andrew Filippone this afternoon. I heard Pony. It was just while I was walking through the halls at work, ranting and raving like a lunatic about Shelton and Charrington. Here's the thing. I don't want to absolve either one of those guys any blame. Like, they decide to put Andy Rodriguez at first base like 3 days before the season starts. They didn't go out and get a real first baseman in the offseason. All kinds of different stuff that we could complain about from Shelton and Charrington's perspective. But here's the problem. When the GM isn't allowed to spend any goddamn money, what do you want him to do? Like, if Spencer Horwitz at first base is the best thing he can do, like, I can blame Charrington and Shelton for the mistakes that they make. Absolutely. But I can't put everything on those guys. Like, if you criticize those two without also criticizing ownership, you're only doing half the work here, and vice versa. If you know, but it all starts with ownership, and just the fact that people would go out of their way to blame Charrington and Shelton without mentioning ownership drives me nuts.
Well, I think that's two separate arguments right there, to be honest with you. You have what they put on the field, and that's basically directed at Bob Nutting and not allowing to upgrade the roster whatsoever in the time that you're supposed to or need to upgrade the roster. But then there has to be some accountability for O'Neill Cruz trying to throw a guy out at the plate when the tying run would have then been running and scoring position. Don't you have – he's a guy that's learning. I understand that. But don't you have infield coaches, outfield coaches, common sense to know this? So I can see both angles of it here. I mean, the only one that really is absolved of it all is Charrington. What do you want him to do? He can only spend what he's allowed to spend. Shelton, you're responsible for this stuff on the field. Nothing, you're responsible for getting the money to get these people in here. And it's just rinse and repeat. Only thing I do appreciate about this is people lasted one day. Wait, seven innings of optimism. Done.
Down the drain.
Done.
So here's the thing. I tried doing the math, okay? So I think they're a 75-win team. That's it. That's all I can give them is 75 like that. But think about it. Paul Skeens is going to start like 30 games. Kaboom. if they win 2/3 of his games, let's say Skeens gets 20 wins. That's a Cy Young level season. They're still going to need to win 60 more games just to get close to 500. Yep. With that back end of the bullpen, with that lineup, with everything else that's going on, I hate to say it, but like, it doesn't feel great. If Paul Skeens somehow drags this team kicking and screaming towards some level of relevancy in September, I mean, build the statue with a guy now and just give him a blank check. It won't happen. I know that, but
it's terrible. The terrible part about it now is, like you said, the back half of the bullpen. Bednar has been showing signs of cracks for a couple of years now. We've always made excuses because he's a great guy. But you were like, who's the guy that they can dump in there and replace him? Oh, Holderman can do it. No, he got the stuff. Well, maybe not.
No.
What's going to happen when, you know, they get Bailey Falters and they do the bullpen game and they're only having three hits? I mean, this is just another disaster. You're saying 72, 73. I might be pushing it below 70 at this point right now.
No, they'll win 75 games just because of Paul Skeens. Just because of Skeens. That's it. That's all. That's like it. But you're right. The fact that we went all of like 7.5 innings with optimism is hilarious.
Yeah, you were here with 84, 85 wins. I'm like, what am I?
Who said 84, 85?
Well, Zangrilli said 84. On the air, I mean, Mackey said something like that, but he now is denying it. I was right there with Pony on the Pump Show, and I'm like, what? You're crazy. They did nothing to improve.
Misplaced the decimal point, I think. What the
They're
hell?
Even worse. I mean, because Tellez actually played well the last, couple months of the season. So they're actually, in theory, worse this year than they were at the end of last year.
All right, we'll talk about more positive things in just a little bit. More cockamamie Aaron Rodgers theories as well. But we got to bring in our special mystery guest. Uh-oh. Yinzer extraordinaire, member of the Pat McAfee Show universe, from the pod, Hammer Don, star of, you know him from That's Hockey Talk, Pittsburgh's own Nick Moraldo. Nick, my friend,
Nick.
Welcome to Cabali and Mac. This is big. Great to have you.
Gentlemen.
Hey, Mac, Thank you for having me. A background right there, baby. Mario Crosby, not your cheesy posters.
Look, the first thing I have to say is that at least Nick came on and didn't sit there and play with a virtual background for 35 seconds like you do every day.
Hey, that's all I can do.
I thought about it. I looked at how good Cabali looked with that blur back there. It looks like he's moving at such an incredible speed we can hardly contain him. So I was like, you know, maybe I will turn that virtual background on.
It's the fastest mark.
Hey, Nick, we can do this and just make everybody happy.
Yeah, that's all you need. Where's that been? Why don't we leave that up the whole time?
Look at that mop.
Steelers don't need to draft any offensive linemen if they got that kid coming up through the system. They're all good.
That looks like shades of Mason McCormick right there. I bet he has that hanging above his bed at night. He looks at that every night before he goes to sleep, and he prays he could be half the athlete that guy was.
You can tell the helmet didn't fit me. Look at the hair. I was miserable.
You didn't need a helmet with that hair. What are you talking about?
You have to understand, I was going probably about 240 at the time, and the kids I was chasing was like 62 pounds. So what do you expect?
Nick, well, first of all, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. I know it's a Friday, and everybody's trying to get to the weekend, so you taking a couple minutes means a lot. We really do appreciate it. You know, you get to work with Pat and the boys every single day, and today, look, the guest list this week has been impeccable, by the way, on the Pat McAfee Show. Yeah. The LeBron versation, and today you land the guy we were just talking about a couple minutes ago, Paul Skeens. This dude, I worry, and I think a lot of Pirate fans worry that, like, eventually he's going to go over the crest of I can't take this anymore. But he is still firmly on the upswing of no, I'm going to drag this organization kicking and screaming back towards relevancy. And you know what? For the first time in a long time, it feels like he might be one of the guys who can do it, because he is just so damn serious. This dude wants to do nothing but win. That's all he cares about.
Yeah, we actually, off air, we talked about that a little bit. I sit in the back and I do some of the behind the scenes stuff with some of the other guys. And as Paul was talking, we were like, this guy cares about nothing but baseball.
Yeah.
He gives no F's about anything. Any outside noise. He's on the cover of MLB The Show. didn't care, didn't want to talk about it. He just wants to talk baseball. And he's so, like, I'm sure he's got other hobbies that he's interested in, but you would never know it, and he's not going to let you know it because all he wants to do is think about eat, sleep, and breathe baseball. And, you know, I grew up, I think the last time the Pirates were relevant was the early 90s, and then they had the run there in the early 2010s, the 2014, the wild card run, and all that stuff, those 3 years. So it's always been an afterthought in terms of Pittsburgh sports. You guys know this better than anybody. But when you have guys like Kutch, what he did, AJ Burnett, what he did, come in and kind of revitalize the energy of the city, it feels like Skeens has done that, but to another level almost.
Yeah.
And like you said, Mac, like, he is a guy who can hold the organization accountable. Will it work? I don't have a lot of optimism for that, because if you're Bob Nutting, what's your incentive? Now, we talked about this on the show too a little bit. Pat and I joked about it. Like, they're probably selling out that ballpark every time Skeens takes the mound.
Yeah.
However, invest a little bit more money into some bats. You're probably selling that out multiple times a week now. And look, you can still sit back and collect cash while spending a little bit too. If you invest, you have the opportunity to make more. Will he do that? I don't think so. Skeens has an opportunity to do what, I liken it to what Joe Burrow was able to do in Cincinnati, put some public pressure on the organization. They signed Ja'Marr Chase to big money. They signed T. Higgins, not as much as he could have got, but still big money. And it looks like they might end up re-signing Trey Hendrickson, which a couple of years ago, who would have thought Cincinnati would do something like that? Very modest, family-run organization. Now the Pirates have a chance to do something similar. Will they? I don't know. I'd like to see Skeens keep it going with intern. Like, we know his play is going to speak for itself, but if he can keep doing that, just putting a little public pressure on the ownership, I think it would go a long way.
Speaking of Skeens, you guys had a relationship with him last year when he was in Indy. Obviously that's carried over. Have you seen it all? Have you noticed it all of him opening up a little bit? Like you were alluding to before, he's a tough nut to crack, it seems.
I saw him laugh on the show today. Oh. I thought that was a good start. I don't think I've ever seen him chuckle or laugh before, but no. And it's funny too, because like, we never like to have anyone on the show, or at least Pat kind of has the policy of like, because he was an athlete, he knows what it's like to deal with losses, especially on a situation like opening day. So he doesn't like to have people on after a losing effort by the team. But this appearance was already scheduled months ago, and Paul was cool enough that he didn't care that they lost. He was still going to come on and, you know, give us a couple minutes and bullshit with us. And he did, and he was great. And I thought that spoke a lot to his character, because it's very easy. You guys know this. Athletes, after a tough loss, like, they do not typically want to speak to media. So I thought it was really cool of him to still honor that and come in and chat with us and keep it honest.
You're right, though, man. He doesn't give a shit about anything but baseball. I mean, his girlfriend's Livy Dunn. He's flown jets before in the Air Force. Like, the dude has had the coolest life already. He's had a life at the age, what is he, 23? He's already lived a life like six times cooler than half of the dreams I've had. The dude is, and all he wants to do is just figure out how to refine a splinker. It's amazing. The dude is just, you're right. This is what the organization needs to put some pressure on ownership, is a dude who's so damn competitive that he won't allow them to not care about winning as the first, second, third, maybe only thing.
All right. And from what I hear, they have the pitchers right now. Like, Jared Jones, obviously he's working his way back from some things, but Bubba Chandler's supposed to be a guy. Skeens is a guy. Jared Jones is a guy. So, and Mitch Keller, obviously, when you have those guys, like, you get your bullpen right, you get the closer right, get a couple bats in there. Like, we're not asking for a $300 million payroll, I don't think. I think they're just asking to be a little more aggressive, a little more competitive, and show some effort and show that you want to build a winner and not just passively sit back on your billionaire newspaper, former ski slope money, and, you know, collect a few more bucks off the popcorn and hot dogs.
I'm a little disappointed, Nick, because I think you said this was scheduled a month in advance. So you don't just text people like an hour before to come on and they come on?
Cabals, you can't spill all the secrets on here. No, it's very rare that a situation like that does happen where we have a guest scheduled that far out. But you know, sometimes it works out, and sometimes we're able to make some things work, like the real shows and the real journalists do, you know?
Right. So here's the question then. When did the LeBron Versation thing come together? Because everyone's speculating about why LeBron wanted to come on with Pat, wanted to come on the show and make some of the points that he was very emphatic about making. Was that one of the things where like ESPN came to you guys or LeBron came to you guys and was like three, four weeks ago said, no, I want to talk to these guys, especially after the Stephen A thing went down? Or was it more like, you know, 3-4 days ago, hey, we're going to be in Indy. You guys want to do a thing?
I wish I knew. I wish I had some more juicy details for you guys. But to be honest, and Caboli knows this to a degree, but a lot of times it's you show up on one day or a day in advance and you get told like, hey, this is what we're doing this week, or hey, this is happening. So this was kind of a situation where we honestly weren't even sure he was going to come until he was at the building. You know, it was one of those things that was like, this dude's one of the most famous guys on the planet. He could change his mind at any moment. And
right.
There's nothing, you couldn't hold it against him. You wouldn't blame him for it. Like, so I have no earthly idea why he chose to go on our show, Pat's show, why he was so honest and forthcoming, which was awesome. Completely blown away at how, you know, just authentic he was. So to be honest, I know it's a boring answer, but like a lot of it was, okay, we got this guy on, we got this amazing interview. This is surreal.
Yeah.
We're kind of just living in the moment sort of thing.
Nick, you've been, I mean, back to some of your career. I heard you're one of the best deck hockey / ball hockey guys ever to lace up a sneaker in Western Pennsylvania at Plum High School. Any truth to that rumor?
I wouldn't say one of the best ever. I was all right, though. I could hold my own. And, you know, it's deck hockey, ball hockey. For those that aren't familiar, it's plastic sport court surface. Or sometimes you'd play on, like, an indoor ice rink that was melted. Like, we used to play down at Neville Island. Double M was my coach. He'd host a lot of those tournaments. And we'd have teams travel in from New Jersey, Boston, Ocean City, Philly, kind of a New York, sometimes Chicago. It was kind of a really like an East Coast type of thing, deck hockey, ball hockey. And then when I was really young, I was about 20 years old, we got the opportunity to go overseas. It was like 10 guys from Pittsburgh and 10 guys from Boston. And we represented the USA in a tournament in Italy, in Aosta, Italy, which is way up north, kind of near the Alps. It's actually around where the games will be coming up for the Winter Olympics. And it was a really cool experience. We won that tournament, which was nuts because we were the only to this point still. That was back in 2006, and we are still the only team that has won gold for the United States ball hockey in any international competition. So, you know, I know it wasn't ice hockey, and I know I wasn't a great athlete, but we do hold that in a little bit of high regard because we were the only ones to do it, and we hope others will be able to achieve similar success soon, but it was a good time. We had a lot of fun doing it. And I loved it because it really like fostered my love for the game of hockey. We were, my dad was a cement finisher, did driveways and patios and stuff growing up and still does to this day, still works his ass off. He'd work 6-7 days a week. So we just didn't have the money to play ice hockey when I was younger. Yeah. It wasn't in the cards. So I played deck hockey, played a little bit of football, and honestly, I was a lazy kid. So by the time like we got to high school, I was like, I practice every day after school. That sounds like a lot. So I stuck with deck hockey. And, you know, it was just something I was good at. It was fun. I got to do it with my friends. So plus, you know, at the time, like Double M, the hottest thing going. So
yeah.
You get to be coached by someone like that, a legend like that. How can you turn that down?
Deck hockey, I'm convinced, Nick, is more of a cardiovascular workout. People are going to laugh at me than ice hockey. Like, I've played in a charity tournament up in Brentwood a couple times.
Yeah.
They have every spring. And it look, maybe it's just because I'm fat and out of shape now. But, like, dude, shut up, Caboli. like, at least on the ice, you can coast. Like, I can push off and I can slide for 15 feet. Dude, there's no coasting in deck hockey. you better keep your damn legs moving or else you're cooked. Someone's going to tee up a slap shot and it's going to be one of those bright orange balls that isn't meant to be played with in summer. And it's going to hit you right in the teeth and you're done.
Yeah. And I mean, in no way am I going to compare it to ice hockey in terms of like athleticism, physicality, anything like that. But you can bump a little bit out there. And like you said, the cardio is a big thing because you can't coast or glide. I mean, you just got to try and stand still and kind of catch your breath a little bit when the play is in a certain end. But like, that's why I always played defense. I didn't have the cardio to play offense. I couldn't run that much, but no, it was a great time. I wish more kids would do it now, because especially if you are an ice hockey player, it's a great way to stay in shape out of season. Or if you can't get the ice time, and it builds your hands, it builds your vision, it works on your hockey IQ, all that stuff. Like, you know, it was great. We had a lot of guys that did play ice with us, and they were always the better players on the team because they had the foundations from ice hockey and just the knowledge and the IQ. And it was a lot of fun, man. I definitely can't do it anymore at this age, but we'd always joke. And it's like it's very similar to like pickup basketball in terms of the cardio effect, but we'd always call it like the white trash version of hockey, because you go down, play a couple games, have a couple beers in the parking lot after, sometimes have a couple beers before the games, and go out there and play with your friends. It was a good time.
Now the guy over your shoulder there, number 66, I'm guessing he was a big influence in your life, heading growing up, to make you like hockey. I mean, with the Mario Lemieux growing up in the 80s and 90s of Pittsburgh mean to you as a hockey fan to this day?
I mean, he was the guy, right? I mean, he's what Sidney Crosby is to a lot of people now who are kind of in that. I was born in 1986. So by the time I was, you know, forming memories and things like that, they were of those early Penguins teams, and Mario and Yager and Ron Francis and Coffey and Murphy and Barrasso and all the boys. And, you know, the old 2-9er, shout out Phil Bork, still doing it. You watch these guys. Funny thing, I don't mean to get distracted, but that painting actually was done by your former guest there, the great Cody Sable.
Oh, Cody.
He did that. It was a gift from one of our guys, CFO Phil Maines, to me. It was really cool. Yeah. So Mario was the guy, man. You guys know this. You grew up in the same era of Pittsburgh sports. Like, there was, you know, that was when the Pirates were still pretty good, and that was when the Steelers were kind of figuring things out and transitioning over into the Cowher phase, and Noel was on his way out, but like Mario was the guy, and just the classiest, most dominant, just perfect representation of Pittsburgh at the time. Like, he was gritty enough and blue collar enough, but also like I feel like he kind of raised the level of Pittsburgh. He was a sophisticated wine drinker, this French Canadian guy, like, you know, but he came from the chain smoking cigarettes in the locker room era, and kind of transitioned with the game and changed the game. You know, just kind of transcended the game in a lot of sense. And so to watch that growing up and watch a guy that good along with Yager as a kid kind of really captivated me. And that's what drew me towards hockey and being a fan.
I've heard, I think it was Steige I heard say this once, Nick, but it's true. Like, Mario almost had like this regal quality.
Yes.
Like, and I told Cabali this a couple weeks ago. There's only two guys that I've ever been like intimidated to walk up to as a member of the media. Joe Green was one of them, because even at this advanced age, he'd still kick my ass. And Mario is the other one, because it's like, the hell am I going to say to this guy that like, he's not going to look at me and be like, okay, that sounds good, I'll see you later. Like, I got nothing, man. I'm just going to stand there and go, cups, right? Yeah, that's cool. I'll be like Chris Farley in the Paul McCartney skit.
Yeah, you know, obviously you got to have the cups and you got to have that. I mean, exactly. And I always like, he's one, when I was doing that talkie talk with Mike Rupp, who does the color for the Penguins games, just absolutely awesome guy. Total stud. And then Gumpy in our office, we'd always talk, and like the dream guest for that show was Mario. And we'd always tell Rupper, like, Rupper, if you see him, like, you have to pitch him. Like, you have to, just 5 minutes. That's all we need. But then like in the back of my brain, I had the same, like, what would I even ask? Like, what am I gonna? I don't get starstruck often now after doing this for so long and being with Pat and meeting a lot of people. We realize how human a lot of these super successful athletes are. He's one. I think, like you said, he's one that would get me still where I'd be like, oh man, like I don't know what to ask this guy.
I think we transitioned to the old 87 now, passing Wayne Gretzky. Where do you think that ranks in the lore of NHL record books? It's not a flashy record, but he did pass Wayne Gretzky. So it has to mean more than what maybe us national or some national folks are even talking about. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it kind of speaks to Sid as a player, right? Because as good as he is and as talented as he is, he's never been the flashiest guy. So I feel like it's a perfect record for him to own, for him to have, because it's one of those ones where it's going to be incredibly hard to break. It's going to require so much skill, consistency, dedication, and be honest, luck because of injuries and things like that. And I think it speaks to him as a player because you look at the record that Ovi's chasing, the all-time goal record. We know what kind of player Ovi is. He's a goal-scoring machine. I'm not going to call him a one-trick pony because I've grown to respect him, and I think his game has grown a lot, even at this point in his career. He's not a defensive mastermind, but he is what he is, and he's a uber-talented player, one of the best the game's ever seen. He's going to break this Gretzky record, whether it be this season or next season. I think it'd be really cool if he gets it done this season. So then you can have the greatest goal scorer of this generation and all time, along with Sidney Crosby, the most complete player of this generation and arguably all time, have it broken both Wayno's records in the same year. I think that's incredibly cool. I don't think you'll ever see anything like that again, especially because these two guys came in at the same time. They saved the league. The league was on life support. They saved the league and they did everything that was expected of them to do, and they didn't mess up. There's no scandals. There's no cheating. All the whiny, divey stuff with Sid, that's all gone. The Ovi, he doesn't play hard. He's selfish. That's all gone. Like, no one cares anymore. Like, the rivalry's still there, but, like, all the pettiness, I feel like, of that little stuff is gone. And now it's like we respect these guys for how good they are, for what they've done, for what they're still doing. And I think that record – to me, you're right. It's not the all-time goal record, right? But still, it's pretty damn impressive. And if it's not 1A, it's right there. So I love it for Sid. I'm happy he's got that. And I think when the time comes, both those guys should get their years waived and get instant access into the Hall of Fame like Mario and Wayne did.
Yeah. I'm still a petty-ass yinzer and have a hard time giving Ovi his flowers, but it has been something to watch the way he turned it on in the middle of this season, almost knowing that he wanted to get it done before the end of the year. And like,
he broke his leg, Mac. He broke his leg this season. He missed a few weeks and then came back and started scoring again.
Yeah. It's wild. And the fact that because of all the gray hair, he looks like he's 63 at this point and he's still out there.
Whoa.
I'm not one to talk either.
I get it, fellas. I'm getting there.
But you're right. It's, I always come back to, though, Nick, like, you're right, they saved the league. I wonder how much more the league could have done with those two when they were both coming into the league together. Like, there's the classic commercial, you remember from their rookie year. I think it was a when they were still on Versus, right? And it's the Ovechkin.
OLN, the Outdoor Life Network, yeah.
That's right. They'd be on after Tour de France reruns. But, like, you know, they tried, but I felt like they never quite did enough. Cause like if they would have got in bed with ESPN back then or just done more to take those guys to the next level, I really think it would. I don't think you'd have people today who openly have debates about whether, you know, McDavid and Matthews and McKinnon are on the same level as Crosby and Ovechkin. I think they'd rightfully understand that as good as this younger generation is, they don't hold a candle to those two.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. The NHL is its own worst enemy in a lot of ways, but I feel like they've come a long way since then. You're right. If they could have got something going a little earlier and, you know, they didn't want to take that back seat, they felt like they probably felt a little almost offended by like what ESPN was offering at the time in terms of money. And I get that. So they took the highest bidder, which was NBC and OLN versus and all that. And they made it work and they did the best they could, which is very debatable looking back on it, but look where they're at now. So they finally got back on ESPN. They're on ESPN Plus. Like just a few years ago, I would have had to pull all kinds of, buy a VPN, buy Center Ice package, spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Now I can get ESPN Plus and I can watch every Penguin game out here in Indianapolis if I want to. And we get national games on ESPN weeknights, and it's great news and it's awesome for the game and for younger kids. And I hope they get to see now the McKinnons and the McCars and the McDavids. And I hope those guys are able to do what Sid and Ovi did and probably could have done more if they had the same opportunity that these guys have now.
Nick, I think the, you mentioned it today on the show. I think Diggs mentioned it about the big night out coming up, right?
Yeah. Big night.
Big night out. But one thing would make it a lot bigger.
And if Here we go.
They're killing us. Everybody has the theory that Aaron Rodgers is making the decision at the big night at. What? Please tell them something so they quit bothering me.
It's all about you, Cabali. It's all about you. Yeah.
By the way, I love the fact that when Cabali tries to pronounce "ot," he doesn't just say "out" like he usually would, which would come out, which would be the correct way. "Ot," he'd say "ot." He tries to like over enunciate. It comes big night "ot"
because it was. It's capitalized. That's why
he's got to. Yeah, it's almost like an exclamation point there for you. Just a slam dunk. You got to exclaim. That'd be pretty cool if we could pull something like that off, wouldn't it? If we had that kind of big swinging dick where we could just say, yeah, okay. All right, Steelers, you're not announcing anything. You got to wait until Aaron wants to walk out in the middle of the stage and announce it himself. Fellas, I'll be honest. I don't know what's going to happen at Big Night Out. This is one that Pat has played pretty tight to his vest. And like us guys in the office, we don't even know half the shit he has ready to go for that night, because it's the way he talks about it. I've never heard him this fired up and like passionate for something before. It's going to be the show of all shows. And I can't wait to see what he ends up pulling off out there, because some of the ideas I've heard him toss around are pretty like, holy shit, how are you going to do that? But the man finds a way. And in terms of what Aaron's going to do, I don't even know if Aaron knows what he's going to do at this point. Like I keep thinking like I could see this guy wait until after the draft, or maybe right before, maybe wait till East on the stone, like Jesus Christ himself in a big white robe. And he announces, "Hey, I've risen and I am ready to play, or I am ready to rest." I don't know.
I got a plan, Nick. I got a plan. If he signs with Pittsburgh, have Diggs go into the darkness retreat with him.
Oh, Diggs would fold like a lawn chair. He would last 2 minutes, maybe. He's so mentally weak for stuff like that. He would never. And like, he wouldn't even insult them. So he'd go, I got no spine.
Even better. Then make him do it.
Make it. Oh, man.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. How about the Cam Hayward stuff? How big was that in Pittsburgh? Cam's comments on his own podcast when asked the question about his pitch to Aaron, the life that took on in the national media was so funny to me.
Yeah,
because everybody missed the entire context.
I said it right away. I said I didn't take it like that.
I think what a lot of people miss too is that's basically what about 95% of every Steelers fan in the world was also thinking to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you want to dick around? Okay, that's fine. You either want to be a Stiller or you don't, Aaron, okay? That's cool if you do. I mean, I'll show you around. I'll take you down Permanis, take you to Yinzers and a strip, get you a cool T-shirt. But, like, I ain't got time for you messing around, because I need to know if I need to actually like Mason Rudolph again or not.
That's the toughest part of this all. Boy, was I out on that guy, and now I got to
all the way back in, buddy.
Yep. But the goatee helps. I'll be honest. The goatee helps. That sold me a little bit.
He is a star.
Okay.
He's a star.
Okay.
I mean, apparently he got some friends in some high places too. Right, Mac?
Well, he helped us get Jeremy Piven on the show, which is one of the wildest things in the world. Said,
can you put Jeremy Piven on? I'm like, you mean the movie actor? Then I'm like, how are you friends with him? No. I'm like, forget it.
Nick, let me put this in context, just and you'll understand this being on the inside of the industry. But like, I had gotten an email from the day job about, hey, you know, it was from the Pittsburgh Cultural Trust or whatever. Jeremy Piven's coming to town. Would you like to interview him? And someone else at the day job jumped on it, and they're like, oh, I'll have him on. I was like, okay, cool. You know, can't have Piven on, no big deal. 2 days later, Kaboom here texts me and says, hey, we want to have Jeremy Piven on. I was like, oh, I got that email too. Like, you know, I guess, yeah, sure, let's have him on. He's like, no, Mason wants to know if we can have him on. I'm like, what the did you just say? Who? Mason? Yeah, Mason's buddies with Jeremy Piven wants to know if we can have him on. I mean, that in and of itself was like a little bit of a mind.
Well, then I get a text message. Hi, Mason speaks highly of you, Jeremy Piv. I'm like, what is this? What kind of world am I living in? I can imagine you, Nick, too, getting some text messages from maybe some famous people thinking, you know, 20 years ago, I'm going to Plum and eating at Vinny's Pizza or wherever that place is right next to her. No, Rudy's Subs, my fault. Rudy's Subs.
Yeah. We had Vinny's too. Vinny Pie, favorite of the Maraldo family. It's funny, Mac, if you haven't figured out by now, Caboli is a marionette puppet. And Mason Rudolph pulls the strings. He goes, dance.
It's the other way around.
Dance. And Caboli just is the mouthpiece. If you see a tweet, it's basically directly from Mason Rudolph's mouth, just through Caboli's fingers.
Yeah. I don't see him on this show, though, right? Right, Mac?
No, he threw you – he gave you the old Belfont snorkel last week. He gave me the old dart. Yeah, well, we'll get him eventually. I told Caboli, I said, you tell Mason, the only way we're having Piven on is if he promises to come on later. So we'll see. I don't care if it's real Mason or evil Mason with the goatee. Just one of them needs to come on.
Maybe he'll come to Big Night At.
Maybe. That'd be great. I'd love to see Mason there. Tickets for only like $20. I hope you
I couldn't tell you, Nick, if how many people have come up to me. They're like, random people. You going to Big Night At? I'm like... Yeah, what's going on? I mean, that's all they ask. This town is on fire for it. They're on fire.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a special evening. It's gonna be one of those things where if you weren't at, you'll regret it for a good bit. And it's Pittsburgh on a Wednesday night in April, and the Pens aren't in the playoffs, and the Steelers don't have a quarterback, and the Pirates are the Pirates. So. It's a pretty cool thing to do in the city when it's lacking some cool things to do at this time. But no, I joke, I kid. We're excited to get back there. And I know Pat's super pumped to come home and be able to put on a show for everybody because it's been a while since we've been back there and like really enjoyed it. And we're really looking forward to it. I can't wait to see everybody.
I'm here for Adam Pearce walking out with that black binder and sitting it down in front of Omar Khan and Aaron Rodgers at a table for a contract signing right there in the middle of the stage.
Oh,
I know
my God, it's the music of Joe Flacco.
What the hell would Flacco's music be?
Probably some kind of Barry Manilow.
Wow.
That's a big pull by you there, Kaboom. Barry Manilow. All right, Nick, we're going to let you run, buddy. It's a Friday night. We won't keep you any longer. But pass our best along to Pat, Tone, everybody out there in Indy. You guys are absolutely crushing it every single day. We appreciate you taking the time on what amounts to a weekend to check in with us for a couple minutes and grace us with your presence, my man. Can't wait to see you back in the Berg for the Big Night Out.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Thank you for what you guys do. Anytime you want to chat, I'd be happy to. Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, right, Nick. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend. Theory, the fact that that theory has taken off the way it has.
Everybody, they're assured that's what's going to happen.
Tone, well, you're right. Tone mentioned it today on the show, on the McAfee show.
Oh, I'm talking about everybody. Everybody's really thinking it is.
I mean, at this point, it would be... I mean, look, I said it before, the Steelers do business just a little bit differently than they have previous to when Omar took over. So never say never, right? Never say never.
I forgot to ask him about the classic. Damn it.
What'd you forget?
You remember the, I mean, you ever see the clip, if you've ever pissing around on the rails. It's been about 3 years since the kid called up Owen and told him to F Boston Connor. And Nick was the one in the background saying, this kid stinks. I wanted to ask him about that.
Damn it. What a great call that was. 3 year,
I wonder where Owen is right now.
In see, middle school?
You see that, right?
Yeah.
I can't say it too loud. The kids are out there.
Oh, okay. Well, careful. Look, as Nick mentioned, April in Pittsburgh could go a multitude of different ways. This year, no Penguins in the playoffs, but maybe you're spending more time outdoors. You want to do it in a beautiful yard. You can have the best looking yard in the neighborhood. Call Southwest Greens. Visit southwestgreenspa.com. They'll come out. They'll take a look at what they can do with an artificial lawn that looks real, feels real, acts real, all those things. The kids play on it and have a great time. The pets can go out on there. You could do a little patch maybe around the kids' play area or a swing set, a little patch for you to maybe practice your putting with the Masters right around the corner and golf season, really getting into full swing, pun intended. Or you could do the whole damn yard, whatever you want. Have them on out, have them take a look at the very least and get you a quote. SouthwestGreensPA.com, so you're not spending $300-$400 a month during the summer trying to water your lawn, doing all the maintenance, the weed whacking and the mowing. Forget about it. Get SouthwestGreensPA.com to come on out and take a look at things. Tell Jake that Cavalli and Mac sent you.
I ordered grass seed on Amazon because my yard is just destroyed in the back.
Like, your house is still relatively new, that your yard's going to suck for another year or so if you keep the real grass.
All that means now is I have to go out and like rake it and buy soil, and I'm not into that crap.
Pain in the ass, my man. That's why you need to get the Southwest Greens. So we talked about the Pirates and how brutal the opener was in Miami. We talked about Sid with Nick. Let's pivot now. Let's talk about pivot. The quarterback situation. Two things that I want to bring up, and I think both are kind of silly. One is Adam Schefter the other day sort of turning over the rock of the idea that Rodgers may just decide to retire rather than play for the Steelers. That has had some fresh life breathed into it, it feels like. And the other one that I saw, I can't remember who it was from ESPN. Some guy who looked like he knows what he's talking about, because I don't see him on the network a lot. Draft guy.
Looked like he knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, he looked very smart. I can't remember his name now, but he's one of their draft guys. Talking about the Steelers. Matt Miller. What's that?
Matt Miller?
Yes, Matt Miller. Thank you. Talking about them trading up for Shedeur Sanders. And it's like, come on.
I mean,
we know that's not, is not happening.
Well, let's put it in perspective here. Where would they have to go from 21 to what? Even if they entertained it.
Four. Like, they would have to jump on four if the Giants decided not to draft
a quarterback. It would be like the Ricky Williams trade, man. Here's our whole draft choice, our whole draft class. We'll take Shedeur Sanders. Unless he somehow falls to like 17, then it makes a little bit of sense of moving up a couple of spots. If you're going from 21 to, holy cow, you're going to have to give up three ones and three twos. It just doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. So it just gives you – we've reached that point where anything that has to do with the Steelers quarterback is getting kind of out of hand. Up to and including Rodgers' discussion at this point.
Like, and he's yet to say a word.
Yes.
Which is what's causing all this. And he could have just put it to bed, but he really hasn't said one thing that should make you sway one way or the other. It's always, I hear this, or a person through a person, through a source, through the person I know, and Aunt Patty's nephew told me. I mean, we don't know. I mean, I would assume AJ Hawk knows a little bit more than he's letting on, but hey, he's not going to say, and rightfully so. He might be the only one that really does know.
I don't think
he might not even know that much.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows.
So we're talking about random, nice dressed guy on ESPN, well, making up statements.
I mean, people are floating theories. I don't blame people for floating theories.
Theories turn into reports.
Right.
And with Schefter, if I do recall, and I don't want to throw no shade his way, did not Aaron Rodgers tell him to lose his phone number like a couple years ago?
Yes, he did.
Many of people told me that before, but at least that one's at least Aaron Rodgers Schefter one's public.
The thing that's going to bother me, and I've said this before, is if it drags out beyond the draft and we're talking about like beyond OTAs and we're talking about into training camp and it's like all of a sudden he decides and now it just doesn't allow for, you know, we just absolutely, and I realize they're two completely different franchises, but we just crushed the Pirates for not having plans in place for different positions. And again, I understand a lot of that has to do with spending money or not spending money, but we crushed Shelton for, you know, not, or and Charrington for not having a plan in place for this or that or the other thing. Like the Steelers, I'm sure, have different contingency plans in place for Rodgers, no Rodgers, Rudolph, whatever it may, rookie, whatever it may be. But like, you can't actually start to put that stuff into place until you know which direction you're going. And then once you do, it can set you back if all of a sudden you've got to decide to go in a completely different direction. Like if they get behind the whole Mason thing during OTAs, and then all of a sudden a week before training camp, Rodgers decides to crawl out of a darkness retreat and say, I think I would like to play for the Steelers. I mean, that throws everything aside that you may have been working on a month and a half earlier.
I think we'll maybe get a little tad more clarity Sunday. When Mike Tomlin speaks to us local jokels.
Right. You're heading to Florida, right?
West Palm Beach, Florida. Ooh. And he'll talk on Sunday. And obviously it's going to be Rodgers, quarterback Rodgers, contingency plans, all this.
Right.
Let's see. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to come out. There's going to be a lot of reading between the lines, but you could be able to get a little bit more of a feel. Is there a drop dead day? What if it lasted here? What if whatever? What's their thinking going on here? It's going to be a lot of that. So at least it should take you a little snapshot of what maybe the organization is thinking of, because I think Omar will be talking not long after that. So you'll get to hear Tomlin for the first time and probably the only time in 6 months. So let's hear what he has to say about this whole situation.
We should do a show on Monday then. We'll have to do that.
Well, Sunday, I don't know what time he talks, 2, 3, 4, 5, whenever they say, whenever the great Burt Lawton says, meet me in the patio in 10 minutes. And you run to the patio and then you wait 2 more hours.
Yeah. Well, either way.
Like I said, we should have a little bit more insight of what they're thinking now, at least time frame wise.
Hopefully, or they'll say nothing and we'll all continue to be in the literal and figurative dark.
They got $34 million bucks under the cap right now. Probably half of that, and a little less than half, is accounted for through the draft picks and other stuff that they have to pay for, practice squad. So it's basically, you can, I don't think they'd give him a second year to spread that out. So you basically know what he's going to get paid by the amount you have left here. I guess you could restructure Freiermuth or guys like that as well.
I mean, they don't really have to get Rodgers in under the cap.
No, but if they want something else.
Okay.
I mean, they do need a defensive lineman with a little bit.
But there's nothing out there. You can bring in 72-year-old Calais Campbell. I mean,
at this point, why not?
Yeah. Speaking of Pat Freiermuth, he was at PSU Pro Day today. Did you see that? Talking up his boy Tyler Warren. Yep.
Would you grab him?
If
he's 21st overall and he's sitting there and you just gave Freiermuth $40, $50 million, are you running to the table with Ty Warren? He's a
monster, but like they haven't. Arthur Smith hasn't proven that he knows how to use Darnell Washington. let alone how to use.
Smith has one more year past this year. You can't have the whole organization based around an offensive coordinator that might be gone in 2 years.
Yeah, I also don't think if you have a tight end locked up for, what, the next 3-4 years, that you run to the table to draft one in the first round when you've got at least three other needs that you could use a first-round pick on.
That would be interesting. I think he'll
there's
go
no way
he'll that. I think he'll get there. I think they'll go before that. But somebody has to fall to him. We're talking about these guys are going to not going to be there when they're drafting. They're going to be drafted earlier, the three quarterbacks, all the defensive linemen. Somebody has to be available. Ashton Jeanty.
You keep bringing that up. A, there's no way Jeanty gets to 21, I don't think. Well, B, is that – if there's D-line, wide receiver, and
different argument now,
quarterback all available there, like you're gonna shove all those positions to the side and go, Ashton Jeanty. I mean, I'd be tempted. I agree, but I'd have to see what else is out there at all those other positions.
That's basically saying I'll pass on Derrick Henry because Kenny Pickett's still on the board.
He's not Derrick Henry. That is a wild overcomparison.
What I'm saying is you got a pretty much a good, not a sure bet, but a very good bet at wide running back and maybe a little bit of a reach at a quarterback. I'm taking the sure bet, or at least the surer bet.
I don't know.
Can help you now. They think they can win now. Now.
But we just learned our lesson with drafting a running back in the first round 4 years ago. We just learned that lesson again.
It's a different one. I mean, do you want to win now? You've got DK Metcalf. You potentially have Aaron Rodgers. You have a young offensive line. You got a defense that should be still decent. Good special teams. You may be lacking a running back, and that's one position you can plug and play, man. Right from college, right in there.
Yeah, and I've said it before, it's supposed to be a wildly deep defensive line draft, so you afford yourself the opportunity to maybe trade back up into the second round to get a defensive lineman if you really feel like you have to address that. And then, you know, they're going to end up, I know everybody's going to be mad if they don't take a receiver in the first 2 days. They're going to end up waiting until, you know, the fifth or sixth round to get a receiver. Corner even, I could see them waiting on, depending on how things shake out. I don't see them jumping all over receiver early. I think it'll be D-line unless, like you said, maybe one of those things like a Jackson Dart or an Ashton Jeanty falls into their lap. I don't know.
You got a bunch of different options, so it's just so hard to sit here and say, what would they do? Right now, I mean, defensive line is just great, but you're not. I mean, even if you get Kenneth Grant, I mean, what is he going to do year one? You can't expect him to come in here and be a difference maker.
Sit and watch. Yeah, which is frustrating.
As for wide receiver, I mean, Calvin Austin's the guy that you're going to have to potentially pay next year. When I say potentially pay, you know, 2 for 20 or whatever it is. And you still don't know what you got from Roman Wilson.
That's why I don't think their wide receivers is nearly as high a priority on their list now as it was before the Metcalf trade. They basically spent a second round pick on a wide receiver already, and his name's DK Metcalf. So I think that falls way down their list of priorities. Before we wrap up here, I got to thank the guys at Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. You find them there. You want to get your AC tuned up this spring before the warmth of the summer hits. Absolutely get it done right now. Our furnace went kaput a couple weeks ago. They were out here fixing it. And then when it went totally dead the week following, they came right back out and put a new one in for us and did an absolutely great job in and out in the same afternoon. Emergency calls, tune-ups, whatever you need done, search Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. We appreciate them for supporting Kapali and Mac.
Plus, apparently he has some video.
He says Tony from Impact.
He says he got pics and videos. Says you're a deck hockey legend.
I played in the Drop the Puck on Cancer tournament up in Brentwood, which I mentioned when Nick was on 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It was brutal. I'm in such terrible shape at this point. And
I used to play deck hockey back in the day, and my shifts would last 32 seconds.
Yeah, I was so gassed after like 20 seconds of running around at full speed, which probably was about half the speed of everyone else on the deck at that point in time, because it was a bunch of younger kids. It was sad. It made me feel terrible. I mean, I felt good for helping charity, but I felt terrible physically for like 5 days after that. My legs were sore.
Getting too old.
Yeah, we're too old. That's what it boils down to.
What about this Bettis giveaway, man? We're so close.
We're so close. You guys got to
come through it.
What do we? We've got like 30, 31 to go, I think.
We might be in the 20s.
Really? Something. Monday might be the day, Kaboom. Monday might be the day. Let me just check. 30. We need 30 exactly.
Okay? And you can have that beautiful, wonderful sign, Jerome Bettis jersey, Hall of Famer.
It's big time. It's big time, and it's going to happen, and it's going to be fantastic. By the way,
you need to take some style tips from Nick.
Oh, yeah?
He's looking
decorations?
Yeah, you need that Cody Sable picture.
I do need to get a Cody Sable painting.
All you need is a couple grand, and that could be yours.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll get a few. I'll buy one for you, too. How's that sound?
Sounds like good to me.
You should get him to do the Bell Vernon football picture as your background. You should get him to do that as a painting.
What? Behind me?
Yeah. Oh,
that's the Linwood Eagles, by the way.
Whatever. Ooh. Linwood Eagles. It's Bell Vernon colors.
I got much worse pictures than that.
Whatever. That's the one that you should have Cody paint for you. That would be amazing.
Can you do it upside down? You think you can do it upside down?
He could definitely do it upside down in like 10 minutes.
I'd even buy his Walmart paintbrushes for him.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Cabali and Mac. Kaboom's going to jump on a plane this weekend and head down to Florida.
I'm not looking forward to that.
You'll be fine. Stop.
I'm not a big plane flyer.
I know. You get anxious. You get antsy.
I'm not getting anxious. I just don't.
You don't like it.
I don't like to be jammed into a flying metal sphere.
Don't think about that. Put some AirPods in or something. Watch a movie. Fall asleep. Wake
up. I'm like Putty on Seinfeld. I just sit there and just stare at the seat in front of me.
You raw dog it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? That's a big thing now. People they like to raw dog their flights. They call it where they don't listen to anything. They don't watch anything. They don't read anything. They literally just stare at the seat ahead of them.
I've been doing that for decades now. I just stand there.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
You know, I get up and pretend like I got to go to the bathroom just so I can walk around a little bit.
Stretch out the old Achilles.
That's more the knees.
All right. Go enjoy your Friday night and your weekend. We'll all reconvene here, same spot, YouTube, Cabali and Mac, to talk on Monday about what Coach T and Omar may have had to say on Sunday afternoon and Monday morning. Sound like a plan, Kaboom?
It sounds like at least the Pirates haven't scored yet, so we haven't missed anything. So.
Thanks again to the Dan Heck team for presenting Cabali and Mac. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. And thanks to each and every one of you for supporting the show. Make sure you're subscribed. Repost those giveaway teats, and we'll get you that Jerome Bettis autographed jersey. I said teats instead of tweets.